What up, y'all? My name's James, and I should never say, what up, y'all? Today's a very special episode because it's the first time Alicia Judge is joining us as editor of AppSpy. However, she has a bit of a rubbish mic this week. She's getting new stuff delivered next week, so everything should be fine. But for the meantime, you'll have to put up with a little bit of distortion and low-level skank. But don't worry, it's going to be great. It's a bright future. Come experience it with me right now on the Pocket Gamer Podcast. Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. This is episode number 334. My name's James Gilmore. Joining me today and forever onwards is Alicia Judge.
Wahey! Hello.
Hello. And Harry Slater, who nearly coughed to death on some drink.
Sorry, I just nearly coughed to death then. It's because I'm just a terribly unhealthy human being.
Your laughs, I've noticed listening back to the podcast, they do often kind of start off as a laugh and then turn into this racking death cough.
Yeah.
Where you go, wow! And then you keel over.
It's because I'm so not used to expressing joy that my body just tries to reject it.
Your lungs don't know what they're doing. Yeah. What are these strange vibrations? Kill him quick before it happens again. Well, do try and last the length of the podcast. This is fun. I'm excited because this is the first time we've had this three, yourself, Alicia, and Harry, together. Yay. Because that means it's going to be this. From here on out, AppSpy has been taken over, commandeered, mutinied, I suppose, by Alicia Judge, who is now the AppSpy editor.
Sorry, I need to work on my evil laugh. That was maybe... I need more thunderclap.
That was like a Santa laugh, to be honest.
That was kind of like jovial uncle.
Fine. If we can just get some like violins or some like really creepy wolf howling or something, maybe that would help.
I do have that sound file. I've got that sound file, but I use it mainly for when Peter made crap jokes, and then you just cut in that kind of.
Bong.
Yeah, exactly. I had a church thing and everything. You got to do it. Hopefully, I don't know actually. What's your patter like, Alicia? Am I going to have to bust out the howling wolves?
Well, we'll have to see. I think you should probably just get an audience cheering kind of sound wav. Clearly, that's the tone I'm going to set.
For all of the awesome that's going to pour forth from your lips, is that right?
Like gold dust.
She talks a big game, people.
Let's I know, see. I'm setting myself up for a fail, aren't I? Go easy.
Let's see if she can live up to it. All right, let's start things off with an update as per usual. Okay, so, as the title says, a bunch of games and IAPs are on sale right now in the Google Play Games Festival. That's not like Glastonbury, is it?
Because it's disappointing and I don't want to go.
Fair cop. All right, so if you're an Android-type person, then you can go and get things cheaper. Things like Hitman Go, Vainglory, Agar.io. What the hell is that?
It's that game that everyone likes.
World of Tanks, Blitz, Monument Valley, Limbo, Lifeline, and FIFA 16. They all have up to 85% off initial prices or in-app purchases therein. There's a big list of other games as well you can go and check out. There's a link on the front page of Pocket Gamer if you fancy a look. Cheapo Google stuff. Also, talking about cheap things, Minds of Mars has come over to iOS in its free-to-play form. Now, I played the premium version when it initially came out. I actually quite like it. It's one of those side-scrolling, I guess, Minecraft-y Terraria sort of things, where you have to go around and like hack up bits of rock and whatnot, find things to take back to your base. You use then the assets to build stuff and create better rocks and better blasters and all that, right? And there's an occasional boss that turns up which you have to fight. They released a version on Android, and because it was Android, it was a free-to-play version. They've now brought that version over to iOS as well.
Ooh, snazzy.
Yeah, so you can have, I think, both. They originally replaced it, the premium, with the free-to-play, but now both versions are there side-by-side, so if you fancy trying it out for nowt, I actually would recommend doing it. It's £3.99 or $4.99 usually, but I had quite a lot of fun with it. It was one of the first things we streamed on Twitch, in fact.
Really?
Yeah, and it's of all those games, like, I'm not really that into Terraria. I played Junk Jack X for a bit. That was kind of fun. But this one was more interested, probably because of the sci-fi setting. I get down.
Yeah, it's
that
got
stuff.
That sort of cool exploration-y thing where you find weird objects and then get killed by giant spiders.
Yeah, aww. Yeah. Which, that's how I like to spend my free time anyway. Yeah. So
just your Saturday nights.
And now that you can do it in a game, it's much better.
Yeah. Saves me a lot of surgery. So, Minds of Mars is the name. It's a free version on iOS or £3.99, $4.99 for the premium version, or just try it out for free on Google Play if you fancy it. So, a quick story before we dive into the real news proper. The final episode of Tales from the Borderlands is going to be out on iOS on October the 20th, which is going to be a week and a half's time, I suppose, roughly.
Tuesday, isn't it?
Who's played what of this? Because I've played the first chapter, but no, and a bit of the second one, but none of the others.
I played the first chapter, and it was good, and I really liked it, and then inevitably I didn't play any of the rest.
What about you, Alicia? No, did you have a look?
So I've played all like the Telltale Walking Dead and Game of Thrones games, but I've not played Tales from the Borderlands. Only heard good things, though. It looks...
I from what I've played, I think it's probably the best one they've actually done.
Really? Yeah.
I'm going to throw that out there because I'm reckless and I don't care what people say about me.
That is high praise.
I mean, obviously, the whole Borderlands world is already built, but the way they sort of fit it into their structure is really clever, and it captures that Borderlands feeling whilst also being like legitimately laugh out loud funny in places.
Yes.
Which is very rare for games because it's very difficult. Because comedy's all about timing, and if people are dicking around with your game, then it's quite easy to get that timing wrong.
Well, I guess with Telltale, it's easier for them with the timing, because they just slip you down this very narrow path that it's what they often get stick for, that people think that there's going to be this incredible branching storyline where you have all this choice of how the game ends, and actually you really don't have that much at all.
We had a lot of that with Until Dawn as well. I just played through that on the PS4, and that arguably has more choice, because you're trying to keep all these guys alive, about 8 characters, and it turns out there is apparently a way to keep them all alive, but equally, they can all die. Like, pretty much all of them die, can die. And I think I lost 2 of the characters on my playthrough, but that has far more impact in terms of there are real stakes. If you do the wrong choice or something, you literally lose that character, that's it, gone. Whereas with the Telltale ones, you think you're going to lose one, and then if you play it through again, you wind up with roughly the same result, don't you?
I'd like it if a game had real stakes in it. It'd be really tasty. If you could just kind of like, out of the CD drive of your PlayStation, just a full sirloin, just like...
This is what you were... I need to queue up the applause for. Is that right?
That was how we're starting off.
All right, we'll count that as a warm-up.
I'm sensing a tumbleweed. That's fine.
You're just flexing. That was a stretch before the full pirouette. So if you are into it, then October the 20th is the date. That will be the final episode. The story will come to its conclusion. I should play through it all at some point, because Harry's right. I actually thought it was better than almost all the other ones, and funnier than the actual Borderlands game. So, yeah, that's praise indeed. Now then, let's talk about the actual issue this week. You may have noticed, if you are an iOS user, that the last 2 weeks, actually going back to 3, in fact, apps started disappearing from the App Store. Specifically, they started disappearing from people's download lists, the purchased history that you guys have. So... this happens from time to time when apps get pulled for whatever reason. They might be refreshing an app for some reason. They might simply not be selling it anymore, so they pull it away. Often what happens if they do that is that if you've already downloaded the game before, if you bought it a year ago or something, then it'll still appear in your purchased list. So even though it's not visible on the front page of the App Store, you'll still be able to download it if you want to, if you want to remove it from your hard drive or whatever and put it back on later. However, in this instance... quite big games from EA, things like the Dead Space game that was there and the Mass Effect Infiltrator game, started vanishing from people's purchase list, meaning they couldn't download it again even though they bought it. We talked about it a couple of podcasts ago and people were like, oh, interesting. It started happening a lot in the past week, in fact. Here's a brief list of some of the games we're talking about. Almost all the Telltale games vanished from the App Store. So... Back to the Future, Jurassic Park, Lore and Legacies, Tales of Monkey Island, Wolf Among Us, Walking Dead, gone. And people were understandably a little bit like, because they vanished without any real sort of ceremony. No one said anything or explained why. And they vanished from the purchase lists. And so people couldn't download them and were then in this quandary of, wait a minute, if they're gone, did they just steal my game, essentially?
Yeah.
Because I paid for that and now it's vanished. And if that was an isolated incident, fine. But instead, Disney games started vanishing. Secret of Monkey Island, Tiny Death Star, which was supposed to be pulled anyway. Star Wars Assault Team, EA games got pulled, like the ones I mentioned before. Sega, Konami, loads of them. We put a full list up on the front page. And understandably, people were a little bit worried about it.
Yeah.
Because we do journalism around these parts, one of us got in contact. Was it Mark who did it?
Mark Brown emailed Apple, Steve Jobs or whatever it is, to ask for a comment on this.
He did indeed. So we were like a bit worried. So we contacted our spokesperson. We're based in the UK, so our spokesperson is an EU representative PR person. So the Apple spokesman said to us, quote, if developers remove their apps from the store, they cannot be re-downloaded until the app's been resubmitted to the App Store. So they effectively correlated what we thought, which was, if it's pulled from that purchase history until the developers decide to put it back up there again, you can't get it back. That's it. End of story. So we were like, right, we published a story saying that, and we got a lot of heat for it, and it was tweeted and edited to bits because people went, that's an outrage. Mm. Now, what happened next was there was another story that got posted elsewhere. So someone made contact with the US Apple PR team. And in their version, the US guy told them, actually, no, that's not what it is. It's being pulled down temporarily because of something to do with iOS 9. So there was this two conflicting points of view. Now, since this has happened, the apps have started to reappear once again onto people's iPhones and iPads, which is very, very good news for everybody involved. The question is, what happened in the interim? I want your opinions on this one, because there are a couple of possible alternatives as to what might happen. I'm going to throw one out there. The US department and the EU department of Apple were not talking to each other and were giving completely different stories because
that's what happens with large companies that don't know their ass from their elbow.
Yeah, that.
Well, so, I mean, quite often we get, even just from like much smaller companies than Apple, we get conflicting statements from the EU and from the US sort of PR arms and stuff. So, I mean, we asked the question, it was answered by someone at Apple.
Yeah.
And we wrote a story up about it. And then Apple got confirmation after that story went up that that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
And then rather than emailing us to tell us that, they told other people instead. And that is essentially what happened. So, yeah,
and we had got confirmation from Apple HQ.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And I think we've been very magnanimous and grown up about it. And I don't think the email exchange Mark had with a PR person particularly changed Apple's outlook on how the company should be run, and so they reversed the policy. But I did get Mark to email Mars to see if he could get them to change Starburst back to Opal Fruits, just in case he had that sort of power.
I like to think he has that sway. I'm sure he likes to think he has it as well. It's worth the try, Slater. Alyssa, you've been floating around the tech field and games and whatnot for a few years.
Yeah.
They are notoriously sort of elusive, Apple, and their communiques. They're a little bit like, we'll speak to you maybe, perhaps, or we'll just do whatever and not tell anyone. Have you ever made contact?
They're one of those companies that I think they've got like a really short list of media outlets around the world that they will deign to deal with. So Pocket Gamer, we're like, it's amazing we're on that list, but any other, like, just they'll only deal with the big kind of, it's just because they're Apple, aren't they? They're just and they've always been, you know, polite but coolly professional. I kind of imagine all the PRs to just be the kind of robots from, I don't know, I Am Legend, just kind of perfectly Apple kind of products, just typing out.
That was vampires in I Am Legend. You're thinking of iRobot.
iRobot, that's the one. Oh, but similar, how amazing would that be?
They both
vampiric
had Will Smith
zombie
in.
Apple PRs.
There was a Will Smith link, if nothing else.
That would be so good.
But yes, they can be elusive. On the upside of all of it, because we were a bit confused and getting conflicting stories is always frustrating, but the upside is the games are coming back now. So if you were worried, you noticed a few weeks ago or something, things were vanishing, check your list. Hopefully the stuff will be back and you can carry on playing the games, which is, after all, what all of this is all about. And about this week, Dust, an Elysian Tale, is hitting iOS. It's here right now. I'm going to talk about this one a little bit later because it's the thing I've probably played most this week. It's £4.49 or $5.99. I will tell you whether I think it's worth that price in a wee bit.
Oh, the suspense!
So, Sonic Dash 2, Sonic Boom! Right, let's have a chatter about this. So I've played it. Harry, you've played it a bunch as well.
I've played it loads, mate. I stayed up until late playing it because I got really addicted.
Mercy. Did you really?
Yeah.
You've been surprisingly positive about this, about what is essentially another auto-runner. Why is it not just an auto-runner, Harry?
Yeah, it's just an auto-runner. But it's a very good auto-runner. And as I say in my review, which you can read on pocketgamer.co.uk, It captures that essence of the first levels of Sonic Adventure really well, where you're sort of, like, it's got really simple controls. The first levels of Sonic Adventure are essentially an auto-runner. You just happen to be pushing forwards. I've said this a lot. No one's listened yet, but maybe this will be the time. And so it captures that ridiculous speed. I mean, there aren't any loop-de-loops, which annoyed me a bit.
Yeah, I do quite like those bits in the 3D Sonic runners.
But other than that, and like, you've got more options than you do in most runners. So, like, in most runners, there are things you slide under, there are things you jump over, there are things you go around.
The classic temple run setup.
Yeah.
But here you've got a lot more options. You've got your spin attack, so you can kill enemies. And different characters that you can unlock have different moves and stuff, so you can, like, Knuckles does this big ground-pounding thing that's, so... And then there's, like, a combo meter as well. You can chain together not just smashing up enemies, but also dodging things.
Okay.
And going through these loops and stuff. And it's just, like, it's not... It's a 7 out of 10. I'm not going to marry it. But it's got a nice progression system where you sort of just grind through challenges like you do in Endless Runners. But there's no energy system, so you can just play for hours and hours and hours, and then you realise it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're a bit sad.
So how does it make its money? Is there any naff adverts?
There are adverts and in-app purchases. You can buy any in-app purchase you get rid of the adverts. The adverts aren't that bad, to be honest. It's by no means the most annoying adverts I've ever engaged with on a monetization level.
Games are so fun, guys.
Games are fun. Games are great. And then there are these things called events that are just like another version of the game with different challenges, and then there are like worldwide events, so everyone does the same runs, and whoever, like, there's like a leaderboard, and the higher up you are the leaderboard, the better prizes you win and stuff.
Got you.
And they've got a little energy system in it, but like you can just bounce through them and then go back to the main game and do all that stuff. So yeah, it's fine, it's good.
The feel was okay. I played it yesterday on the stream, and I was like, when the first one came out, the original Sonic Dash, it was such a no-brainer where we went, well, obviously, where's this been all this time? The auto-runner is built for Sonic. This is perfect. It was another, you know, free-to-play, Temple Run-esque kind of game and didn't do a huge amount to set itself apart, I suppose. But you're right, this has a little bit more in it. The little butt stomp thing that Knuckles did is quite fun, and it branches off into different avenues, like the left turn or the right turn will suddenly disappear off and you go into a different world, which is something that's become quite popular recently. I saw the Minions game did it.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And then the new version of that Subway Surfers thing, that does it as well. So they're starting to add, like, verticality, where one's really high, one of the tracks is very high, and one's very low, and they go off in different places. In this case, they go sweeping off in 90 degrees, and you disappear down a corridor somewhere, and it emerges in a different place. So they're mixing it up a bit. It's fair enough. It's free to download. I had perfectly fine time mashing about with it. Read Harry's full review, though. It's up on the site right now if you want to take a look.
Whoop, whoop.
Right. Leave me alone.
All right.
Sorry, geez. How did we decide to pronounce this yesterday, James? Right, get it right.
So today, its proper pronunciation clearly is, leave me alone! I hate you. Yeah, aww. So that genuinely is the tone in which it's delivered as well. There's a little intro sequence. It is a side-scrolling platformer in which you take control of this kind of punk goth lassie on a skateboard. And you have to ride across the level, battering crap out of other punk zombies who want to kill you with your skateboard. Do a bit of grinding, activate a couple of lifts, do a bit of wall jumping, collect some what I would call smileys, but they're in fact saddies.
Aww.
And then you use that to buy some more powers, leave a flaming trail behind you when you skateboard along. It is an unusual one. I played this for a hands-on and a bit more on the stream. It's kind of, we said before, it's ugly. But in a way, I sort of quite like. It's like a weird, sinister comic book.
It's like those models that you get in, like, Vogue that are just, like, weird. And you look at them, you kind of go, yeah, but then it kind of works. You're like, oh, I kind of want to carry on looking at your face.
Are you saying this is the Cara Delevingne of video games?
This is the Cara Delevingne. It's got the bushy eyebrows going on.
That is some serious brow action she's got going on there.
Check it out.
I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
I'd actually be genuinely worried if you did, Harry.
Shush, Harry, girl talk. Right. So about these eyebrows. No, in fact, the lead protagonist in this has got a bit of a forehead on her as well, to be fair. It's a bit unusual. See, this is the laugh I was talking about. Harry just died. He died of comedy. Yeah, it's unusual. I'm not sure if I like the gameplay so much, because in order to do the attack, you have to jump in the air and kind of hit the attack button, and you sort of do a bit of a kickflip, and that damages the dudes. But what that means is that you have to keep kind of, you jump towards them, kick, land on the other side, turn around, jump towards them, and you keep doing that. You like leapfrog back and forth across their faces to do any real damage, and it's a bit slightly yanky as far as a combat system is concerned.
Yeah.
The sort of grindy bits are very, very simple, and the having to activate buttons is a bit of a pain, because you have to kick the board up and grab it. You go into kind of walking stance, and then you flick switches, and then you have to get back on the board again. There's a lot of upgrade stuff that you can deal with. The one I got is a flaming upgrade thing to spend the points on, so you zoom along and the big Marty McFly style fire trails get left behind you, which burns them up a bit, which is cool, and there's more to get after it, but I'm slightly uncertain of whether it has any longevity. It was just a bit fiddly in the control department for my liking. But it's a weird looking one. It's maybe worth a look. Leave Me Alone is the full title. It's available right now on iPhone and iPad. Don't know the price yet, but I believe it is premium. So go and have a look at that if you fancy cool. It. Chesh.
Chesh.
Chesh. I'm going to play some chess with my friend.
Yeah.
We're going to play some giraffe, and I'm going to have a game of Monopoly.
Monopoly.
Yeah,
so it's pronounced like drunken chess, and it's played a bit like drunken chess, in so much as there are lots of things on a board, and you don't know what any of them do anymore. I genuinely mean that. We had the developer in the stream last night. He appeared when we started playing it, and every time you load up a new game, it looks like a chessboard. It's got not the right number of squares on it, that you can change the amount of tiles and whatnot. And the characters, instead of having a rook and a knight and a queen and a bunch of pawns, they are just like what appear to be randomly selected pop art. So you get like a weird skull, and then you get a strange circle, something that looks like the Ebola virus, a little Frankenstein's monster, and you're like, what do any of these do? You press it, and you go to make your move, your chess move, and it highlights the squares around which you're able to move to. Which is common with touchscreen strategy games. But you don't know what your new character is going to move, because it's not the same characters every time. You press it, and then it goes, right, I guess this one could only move one square then, and you move, and you press another character, and it gives you a kind of L shape, like a knight, and you go, all right, then, I guess the Satsuma can move in L's. But you don't know until you start tapping and playing, which is, a lot of people, understandably, people in our app army, for example, have found a bit confusing.
I'm finding it. I think the whole time that you've been talking about this, I've just been sat here with this expression of like, oh, it's like my derp face.
It's understandable. And according to the developer, he says that's supposed to be part of the game. Discovering what pieces you've got before you start playing is the experience. That's what it's all about.
Like, you have to remember what things do, and because like we found out in the stream yesterday, once you tap on something, it's selected and you can't choose another piece.
Yeah, you
which
can't
again
go back.
Adds to that sort of like. I think I've not actually had a chance to play it yet because I had a nap, But it's it looks interesting. I'll probably play it tomorrow and do one of those review things. I think, maybe.
I've heard so much about.
Cool.
I might have more of a nap.
If you fancy a look at it, it's £1.99 or $2.99 at the moment. iPhone and iPad. There's a trailer up on the site, and check back with Harry's review, which should probably be up when you hear the podcast. So maybe go and have a look. I'm curious. It's a bit of a challenge, but not necessarily in a bad way. Speaking of, Dub Dash. Ooh. Now, this made me a little bit ill.
Yeah.
Oh, is this really psychedelic game I've seen this.
So, yeah, it's an auto-runner / rhythm action game. So it starts off with a, I don't know what even it is, like a cotton reel or just a cylinder, a small cylinder, rolling down this corridor. It's automatically aligned to the right side of the corridor, so it's glued to the right wall, if you like. And then little arrows will appear on blocks on the floor, and if you tap the appropriate side of the screen, your little creature will go boom, and he'll move out to the left, and he'll kind of hop out, but he'll re-glue himself back onto the right side of the wall again. So he'll like hop left and then back to the right every time you touch it. There is a music track playing in the background, and you're being prompted in time to the music. Once you get through that little corridor initially, it suddenly switches to side-scrolling, and now you're like a weird airplane flying in midair, and then it becomes a bit Flappy Bird, so you have to tap on the screen to keep the craft buoyant, to keep it up in the air, and avoid little jaggies coming out the top and bottom of the screen. Then it goes back to being a rear view thing or a top down thing, and you have to jump around. And then later on, it turns into something which is more akin to like a Pac-Man, where you have to go left and right and up and down all around corridors. And it's massively psychedelic in terms of its colour. The whole thing is filmed. It's not filmed, but the whole thing is shot like those skater videos where it's done with a fisheye lens, where everything appears to be bulging out towards your face. It's a lot to take in, and because the perspectives keep shifting, it's quite... it's a bit much, you know?
Quite tricky. I'm just imagining if they ever transported this to VR. Oh, can you imagine? you'd be in it for 30 seconds and then throwing up the colour of all the colours in the game. Just rainbows.
People complain about us streaming Super Hexagon when we stream it, going like, oh no, I can't look at it for longer than 30 seconds, it makes me dizzy. This is something else. It was quite tough, though. I'll say this. Granted, I could only hear the music very quietly coming out of one speaker when I was playing it, because we were streaming, but it was quite challenging. It was very precise in when you have to hit the button. If you miss, back to the very beginning again with you. So, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world. It's £1.49 or $1.99, but if that's a bit much for you, there is a free demo that you can try out before you buy it.
Okay.
I'd probably advise doing that, because I can understand this game rubbing people up the wrong way, either just because it's tough or because it's too much to look at.
And because it makes you vomit.
Yeah, that too.
I've just been watching the trailer and I think I might vomit.
You already feel a bit queasy. Yeah. All right, well,
Harry, this podcast is detrimental to your health.
Yeah, I'm all right with it. Most of the things I do are detrimental to my health.
He's quite fatalistic, Harry. It's all right. He's not doing something that has a 90% risk of mortality. He's not trying.
He's not living.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Well, Dub Dash, if you fancy a look at it, available iPhone, iPad right now. Now let's have a look at the also-rans this week. So, Royal Bounty HD. And these are all quotes from the App Store. Yeah, because we play a lot of them, right? But there are some extra ones we throw in for good measure. So it's an old school RPG. You're an adventurer named Jim the adventurer.
I love it.
You are being chased by cell guards. You have to get away from a maze, find a ship. It looks like a kind of isometric old-fashioned, you know, Baldur's Gate style thing. That's available right now. It's £3.39, $4.99. There's something called Super Sharp, which is incredibly minimal game about slicing up blocks. So and strings as well. So, you know, like in Icebreaker or Viking Voyage, the first Nitrome game, those excellent guys over at Nitrome.
Back in the day.
Yeah. You had to slice these blocks of ice with your finger, kind of like Cut the Rope or Fruit Ninja. And slicing them in the right way allowed them to open up pathways or slide the block down and push something into an area you needed it to get to, whatever. This is like a very bold, plain version of that, where you're slicing up these white blocks to push things through gaps. I actually quite like the look of it.
I quite like the look of it. It reminds me of a kind of puzzle version of Thomas Was Alone.
Yeah, the visual is very much like that. The stark, kind of bright, bold colours, like, and black and white. That too, yeah. It's got the circular version of the same thing. That's available right now. It's £1.49 or $1.99. I might actually try that. That looks all right. Anything else that's particularly sexy? There's something called Soda Dungeon that appeared.
Ooh.
Which is looks like an old-school JRPG. In fact, it is. Western-looking, but it's got the old RPG turn-based people lining up on either side of the screen. It's old-fashioned. It's free to play if you want to look at it. It's from Armor Games. I think they've done a couple of these things as well. Anything else particularly lovely? Oh my god, there's a Flash Gordon game!
Oh yeah, there's the Flash Gordon. I totally forgot about the Flash Gordon game.
I haven't played this. Have you played this?
I haven't played it, no, but I just saw it and I was like, I want that, but at the same time, I really don't want that.
It's gonna.
It's got Queen music in it. Like, the App Store shot I saw of it was just like Brian Blessed in 8-bit form flying through the air. I was like, sold!
So beautiful. It's £2.29, $2.99. And like Harry says, it's got a full Queen soundtrack. How have I not played this? I'm doing it all wrong. I want it. I want it for my very own. All right, I'll probably do for now. There is a big list of all the other games. We're going to talk about some more now on Throne of Games, but there's a huge list of other stuff, all available on the front page of Pocket Gamer. Go take a look if you want to see the full rundown.
Come sit upon my throne of games.
Let me start with you, Harry.
Okay, cool.
What would you like to talk about?
Anki Overdrive.
Okay.
It was sent to me by a company who wanted me to review it for... Well, no, they said, do you want to review it? And I said, yes. And they sent me it. And that's what I'm doing.
Nice.
Nice. That's normally how the system works.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, it's Scalextric, sort of. I don't know how to say that word.
Scalextric.
Anyway... and essentially, you get a load of shiny cardboard track that you connect together with the magnets in the track.
Yep.
And then you get little cars, little brum-brum cars, and a little charging pad, and you put the cars on there, and then they charge up. And then you download an application on your mobile phone, either on Android or iOS.
Gotcha.
Probably not Windows Phone, because that one guy didn't want it. And then you put your little, like, you go through some, like, calibration on your phone, and then you put your little cars on the track, and then they start driving round!
Whoa!
Like some sort of magic wizardry madness, and it's insane! And then they stop, and then you have to drive them around a bit, but they have, like, weapons on them.
Right.
That are just represented by flashing lights.
Oh, okay.
And then the lights flash and, like, you get, like, vibrations on your phone that are like, oh, you got shot by some guy, and you're like, oh, no, that's awful.
I'm watching it now. It's like trying to take Scalextric into the sort of Tron generation, yes. By the look of it.
Yeah, but sort of like the Tron generation as designed by some sort of B-list rally driver.
I thought when I first saw the video, this was like augmented reality, but so you physically have...
This is a real thing that really happens, but the guns don't pop out like that, which is a shame.
That'll be fun.
Like, the first time I put the cars on the track, because the first thing you do is you put the cars on the track, and they realise they're on the track, and then they drive around it to check what track layout there is. Because you don't actually...
Wow.
You don't... Yeah. Yeah.
They do a warm-up lap.
And they stop driving around, and, like, there's a one part of the track is, like, the start line, which I presume has got some sort of thing in it, so they know where to start. And then they all stop and line up on the start line. And you can do it multiplayer if you've got... You need to be on the same Wi-Fi if you're doing it cross-platform, but if you're on... Everyone's on an iOS device, you can just do it over Bluetooth.
Right on.
And you can also do it single-player. And I think you can also race against people from around the world.
Really? So they ghost control your cars?
They ghost control your cars.
Oh, now, the controls, let's start with that. How does that work out? Are you just controlling acceleration?
You've got, like, a throttle control that speeds you up and slows you down. But the cars navigate the track themselves. But there are, like, lanes in the track.
Okay.
And you can, move between the lanes. Because, like, one of the most important things are the guns.
Right.
So, like, you have to dodge between lanes, because, like, all the cars basically move at the same speed.
Yeah.
So you have to shoot stuff and brake stuff to overtake them and stuff.
Okay.
So you're sort of jockeying for position. And it's kind of cool. You've also got, like, boosts and weapons and stuff that are just taps on your, like, buttons on the screen, essentially. Yeah. And really you're tilting your device to make them change lane, which kind of weird. But it works surprisingly well. There were a number of times where my cars just drove off the track, but then
proper good scare electrics.
No, but the thing is, they kept going.
Oh,
like,
really?
They drove off the track, and one of them like drove into my kitchen.
They became sentient.
I bet your cat loved that.
I played it with my brother on a couple of nights ago, and then I couldn't be bothered to pack it up and went to bed. And then I came in the next morning, my cat was just like stood over the cars glaring at them. And I suspect she'd been there all night, just like, why aren't they moving?
Well, the one thing to address here, all of this sounds actually quite fun and I want to go, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the price.
Yeah, I was just about
I don't know how much it costs because they sent
me...
You see, the thing is, right, they sent me so much stuff.
Okay.
Like, I was at EGX when it got delivered, and it was UPS, so they just send it to a collection point, which is about a mile down the road. So I thought, oh, I'll take one of my big, like, bags for life, because they said it was 7 kilos. And I was like, well, that's quite heavy, but I'll take a bag for life and all. Yeah, yeah. You can't actually see it, but I have nowhere in my entire flat where I can put the box that it all came in, because it was about...
Wow.
5 foot.
He's making a 5 foot sign with his hands.
5 foot sign with my hands. and so now I kind of have to have it in my shower room and then move it out of my shower room when I want to have a shower.
So now you sleep in the middle of it.
Pretty much, yeah. It is.
Oh, that's amazing.
So let me inform you of the price. So the Anki Overdrive starter kit, which includes two supercars, 10 track pieces, a 4-car charger, 2 risers, and a tyre cleaning kit. All of that.
Yeah.
Is £149.99.
Okay, it's a total rip-off, don't get it.
That's insane. What was it made of? Gold plate and angel tears.
So it's... however, it is, if you live in the States, $150. So it's the same price in dollars in the States, which is equivalent to about £90, like about 80, that, 90 quid.
Oh, I hate it when they do that.
So we're being horribly ripped off.
Yeah, but usually prices in America don't include tax, so it's different.
That's true. So for 150 quid, is it worth it?
I'd ask for it for Christmas, maybe, if you've got rich parents who love you.
Okay.
But I wouldn't... If you want to buy, spend 150 quid on something that's a bit like Scale X-Trek, just spend 150 quid on some Scale X-Trek, because it'd be more fun.
They got them plungers. The car's just alone.
And it smells so much nicer as well.
It smells... Aww.
Which is 50% of the experience. The cars alone cost £49.99.
Really?
Just for each car. How many cars you got, Harry?
I have the starter set.
Yeah.
I have two extra cars.
Yeah.
And then I have 4 packs of track stuff.
So you're sitting on 200 quid in cars alone.
I should probably Hoover.
It's a gold mine. Well, okay, you can see a video of it running on Pocket Gamer's front page at the moment if you want to know what this looks like. And Harry will be doing the review.
I think the review will be up on Monday.
Okay, cool, sweet. All right, and so Anki, A-N-K-I, Overdrive is the name. Maybe you're not downloading that off the App Store anytime soon. Alicia.
Hello.
Is there something you've been playing this week?
Oh, there's something I really want to tell you about what I've been playing, but I can't, because...
You can say the name of it.
Can I say the name of it? So I went and played the first episode of Minecraft Story Mode. Yes, I know! It was really exciting. And it's... I can't really give anything away, but...
Nope.
Yeah, so I can't really give anything away.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
It's another one of the Telltale. We know this much. It's a Telltale game. They've done their first, foray into essentially a franchise which doesn't really have a narrative, does it?
No.
As in the normal game.
Well, it does. I mean, what I can say is it's very clever at blending traditional, like, hardcore Minecraft fans will love it for the amount of lore that they've poured into it. But people who aren't familiar with the Minecraft franchise will be able to go in and still... enjoy it. It walks the line very well. But it was interesting going off what we were saying earlier about Telltale games and kind of like the story and the branching, the element of choice and how much control you have as a player. I did an interview with their Telltale's communications manager, and she got really frustrated by how annoyed everyone gets over the fact that really the story ends up the same whatever way you play it. And she was like, mm-hmm. well, we never promised anything different. It's not a branching game. It's just a game where we give you the illusion of story and choice.
Yeah.
But that was, and I thought that was really interesting, because I genuinely had thought that it was sold as a, but yeah, she was very, no, we just give you the sense that you're choosing your own thing, but really you're not.
Okay, interesting. Mm. Well, we look forward to when the embargo is up. We'll be able to talk about it properly. Mark's mm-hmm. going off to see it tomorrow as well, so we'll be fully covered on that. Anything else you can?
I can. I've been playing The Room, going back a bit. I think it came out in 2012 or something.
The first
like
one,
that.
I think,
It was a fair while ago. But I never got around to playing it, so been kind of, it's for those of you who haven't played it, it's kind of a three-dimensional puzzle game, and it's almost like kind of like a box within a box within a box, and mm-hmm. it's especially clever because of the way it uses touch controls. So the way you touch the screen and kind of flick switches and rotate different things, it's exactly as you would in real life, so it's very tactile. But speaking of motion sickness, I was playing it on the train. I think I was so engrossed. Whenever I've played it, I've just got incredibly motion sick. Don't know why.
Really?
I never get that with mobile games, but I do get that with The Room. I think it's because you're almost playing it with your nose. There's a stylus on the screen. Just so, yeah. No, but it's good. Have you guys played it?
Yes, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, this podcast is almost in danger of becoming the Pocket Gamer Loves The Room podcast.
and The Room 2.
And The Room 2, and we're really excited about The Room 3. But that would be a bit too long a name for a podcast, I think.
Yeah, I think we've both at least reviewed. I reviewed Room 2 for AppSpy when it was doing separate reviews.
Did
I'm sure
you?
You've reviewed at least one of them, if not both.
I think I reviewed both of them,
Yeah.
And I've played the third one as well.
So because I've only played the first one, I've not got around to the sequels yet. So are they, they're worth getting?
The second one. It loses its way a bit. It's less focused because there's multiple rooms, but calling it The Rooms probably wouldn't have made sense.
In an aliens sort of way.
Yeah.
Rambo. But yeah, The Room 2 is definitely worth playing. And from what I've played of The Room 3, it will be the same level of quality.
Brilliant.
Yeah, they fireproof know what they're doing when it comes to that stuff, and it's just a beautiful game.
You know what? I thought that it would go really well. Do you remember when we were at E3, James, and we mm-hmm. played around with the Oculus Half Moon controllers?
Yes.
And it would go so well in Oculus with the Half Moons because it's so tactile just on a 2D screen. If you were to have, so for those of you who haven't seen the Half Moon controllers, they're kind of Oculus' answer to putting you in virtual reality and really giving you this feel that you're tangibly interacting with the world. So when James and I saw it at E3, we were put in this kind of toy box room where you had building blocks and bows and arrows and all this kind of stuff in front of you, and you could pick them up and kind of throw things, and it was all, and the room would translate so well to that because it's all about flicking switches and pulling things out, and kind of it's very, very tactile.
Yeah, it's the closest thing you get to what I would consider a VR experience using the touchscreen, because the example that you always use is The Room, because it honestly feels like you are kind of grabbing hold of those objects and pulling them and twisting them. And
I think it'd be interesting to see, like, I mean, obviously the Room 3's been put back quite a few times. It'd be interesting to see if they're putting 3D touch implementation into it.
Yeah, that's so true.
To add that extra layer of tactility of you know, being able to different Ooh. Pressures
push
on it
hard
and stuff.
And,
I bet they are. I make you a bet, Harry Slater.
Well, yes. I mean, I'm not going to take that bet because I think they probably are as well. But but it does mean I'm going to have to buy something with 3D touch, doesn't it?
That's true. Yeah.
That's the first time an iPhone has had an actual killer app. It's just been like, well, I'll just play on my old one. But if this does have 3D touch, then I'm gonna have to sell
your various iOS devices.
Yeah, just sell them all.
And
sell
all
the cars from that thing.
I could just sell them.
On eBay.
I don't think my liver's gonna be worth that much, to be honest. I might have to come and get one.
It'll be worth it to science to study it.
Yeah, how is he still alive?
Incredible. All right, then, The Room, as always, recommended. Room 1 and 2, and The Room 3, go and read Harry's preview. He's played it already a year ago, and again, a little bit later. So go and have a look at all that stuff. The other big release of this week I want to talk about is Dust An Elysian Tale, which itself was a game that came out in 2012 as well, but it did so on
Xbox Live.
Yeah, Xbox Live was the first one. Then it came to PS3, and it also came to PS4. It's also on Steam.
Yeah.
And now it's landed on iOS. It is an action RPG with a bit of Metroidvania thrown into it, Metroidvania style. You take control of what I assume is... I don't even know what he is. What is he, this lead character? Fox or a rabbit or what?
A hood on. So he might be you.
Yeah, I think he's like a silver fox because his tail's too long for a rabbit. Anyway, he's wandering around in his cloak and whatnot, and at the very beginning he gets given a sword which talks to him, an enchanted sword like Transistor. Ooh. If you've played Transistor recently. And then this little flying squirrel fox bat creature pops up and starts giving him lip about how it's her sword and she needs to look after it. And he's like, yeah, whatever, I'm going to do some quests instead. And I'm going to hack up all these monsters. And he proceeds to do so. It is one of the best looking games I've seen.
It's beautiful.
I suppose, full stop.
It's so beautiful.
We mentioned on the stream yesterday, it's all, well, majority anyway, animated and created by one dude. Did all of it. And the production values are through the roof. It's like a sort of Studio Ghibli movie brought to life. We said that about like Ni No Kuni when it came out on PS3, which is essentially the interactive Studio Ghibli game. This is incredible. Like the foregrounds, the backgrounds, the animation of the characters is sublime. You're dashing about on the screen, hacking your way through these various creatures. Initially, you're just like pressing X in order to do a hack start, you know, just you swing your sword, hack, hack, hack. Y gives you these vertical attacks so you can juggle people into the air, and then X, 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 X. Then if you hold B or hold Y, they unleash either A, this kind of helicoptering attack where he spins his sword really, really, really fast, or the little squirrel creature who's called... What's her name again? Oh, God damn
it. Can we just call her Squirrel Thing?
Boogie, Flibby, Flobby, Bibby...
She's called something.
That's very
she's
long.
Something chirpy. I'm going to call her Snaffles. So Snaffles launches all these white mana bolts into the air. So she like fires a whole bunch of like magical juju at everybody. And as Harry pointed out when I was playing on the stream, if you launch all the magical mana bolts, then do the helicopter attack, it sends them flying about all over the screen, and it looks incredible. It's like the bullet hell shooters.
As you get deeper into the game, you unlock different projectiles for Flibby Flobby blah, 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 as well.
Snaffles. Yeah.
I'm not saying Snaffles on a podcast. I have some dignity. You can
give it 5 minutes.
Yeah. So there's like ones that are like firebolts. As you defeat bosses, you learn their magic, essentially. Mm-hmm. Snaffles learns their magic. So the fire one, you get like these huge plumes of fire coming down and explosions going off everywhere. And it is just delightful.
It's amazing to look at. And they've managed to transfer it to iOS pretty much perfectly, at least in the visual department. I went back and I saw videos. I checked out the stuff from the Xbox and from the PS4 and everything. It looks just as good, just as smooth, solid, like 60 frames a second frame rate. It's absolutely blinding.
But
the compromise, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, the thing that I'm worried about is the on-screen controllers, because it does look as good, but just on-screen controls have never really sat well with me. Does it do it okay?
Well, it does it actually quite well for what it is, but it is still a compromise. So you move left or right simply by swiping your left thumb left or right. I don't usually like that. I usually prefer to have arrow buttons, which you can choose if you want to, by the way. But on this, it actually worked very well. If you want to dash, you very quickly swipe left or right. Again, I found that very natural. I didn't have a problem with it. They have the X, Y, B, A buttons clustered in a grid formation in the lower right-hand corner of the screen. I was playing it on an iPhone 6. It was very comfortable for me. I felt like I knew where the buttons were. You always have that problem when you're playing platformers and everything, and those virtual buttons, where on a normal joypad you can feel where the button ends and where the other one begins, whereas on a glass screen you got nothing. So you just got to hope you're stabbing in the right place or keep looking at it. But it felt very natural to me. Harry, you were playing through on an iPad Air. You said not quite so easy on the big size.
Not quite as good. For the actual platforming sections, it's fine. But it's when there's the chaos is happening on the screen. I found it a bit hard without having the proper button feedback to actually know the combo I was trying to tap out was the combo I was actually doing.
Gotcha.
Which I think that's the only problem I had with it, though. And if you play it on the lower difficulty settings, then it's not so much of a problem. But if you want a proper hardcore challenge, then I don't think the mobile version is the best version to go for.
No, but I'd be inclined to agree.
You can make so much chaos with on easy mode and just be like, ah, then it's, yeah, and it's worth it.
That is almost exactly what happens when you start playing it. It's such a pleasure to look at, and it feels fluid and fun, and it honestly is cracking. I put it on a lower difficulty setting at the beginning. Like Harry says, it might be an idea to stick with something like that just to ensure that you don't mess up combos or you don't get, you know, spun about and confused and whatnot. But it's just lovely, and I want to play lots more of it, frankly, so I'm going to continue doing that. It's called Dust and Elysian Tail, T-A-I-L, because he's a foxy man. So it's £4.49 or $5.99. It is a little bit stressful on your old processor, so I think you need something at least iPhone 5S.
It might work on a 5, but if it doesn't work on a 5 and you buy it on your 5, it's James's fault.
Yeah, so make sure you got a relatively newish device that can actually hack the thing. People have asked about MFI controller support. It doesn't actually say on the listings.
It doesn't
plug
have
mine
it.
In. It doesn't have
no.
it. Okay,
it's
so touch screen only.
Specifically designed for touch. I tried to find, but no.
But no joy. But honestly, I wouldn't let that hold you back. If you've wanted to have a go on the game and you don't mind the fact that it's got a bit of touchscreen action, other than that, it is a brilliant port. Like, in terms of performance, in terms of recapturing the look of it, it's absolutely great. And again, like, mostly one guy doing this, it's awe-inspiring. Took him 3 years, apparently. And it's an impressive piece of kit, and it's got a lot of legs in it, because it's got that, you have to go back and explore old areas, Metroidvania style, look at the map side on. There's lots to be doing. The characters are cool. The animation's amazing. I suggest having a look at it. So, Dust and Elysian Tail, out on iPhone and iPad right now. All right, then. That'll be a lot. Thank you for watching us on the Twitch stream and listening on the podcast. Thank you, Alicia, for joining us for your first of what will be many podcasts to come.
Woohoo! Oh, I had fun. That was amazing.
Delighted. And thank you for lasting to the end of the stream / podcast without dying, Harry.
Oh, no,
oh, just died.
Oh,
no.
Oh,
well.
Dear.
You made the running time. You got our money's worth out of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty cool. I'm a zombie now, so...
Sweet. I'll see you in Minecraft, the story mode. Ooh. All right, then, kids. We will see you next week. Thank you all for watching and listening. Take care. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.